Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, Merry Christmas to everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you're getting closing in on your holiday shopping. A little, very local business I'd like to take care of here and try to help with. At the top of the hour, as we are going to be talking about several different news stories today that I wanted to take you through. Some impeachment stuff and then some Christmas apologies from some groups that might surprise you. So I want to get to that, and then we'll do a little Money Monday update because China, it would appear that Trump and China have come to at least, quote-unquote, another somewhat legitimate arrangement. We'll talk about that. So a lot of things to get through today, but here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area of North Carolina, just one of the most outstanding ministries in the area that's just been doing unbelievable work literally for decades is the Durham Rescue Mission. And Mr. and Mrs. Mills, Dr. and Mrs. Mills, just a fabulous brother and sister in Christ, and the whole team there at the Durham Rescue Mission. They do an incredible work several times, I mean, all year round, but several times throughout the year, they do massive community outreach things, especially for that community that is struggling financially. Many of us, perhaps you know what that's like from your past. Perhaps you're dealing with that right now. Most of us don't though. Most of us are doing okay. I'm not saying we're rich. I'm just saying we're doing okay. But last year, the Durham Rescue Mission had a special event, a special Christmas event. They had 3,000 people came out. They gave away 8,000 toys. And the next time they're doing that is a week from today, next Monday. And they need our help here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area. So our good friend Tony Gooch from the Durham Rescue Mission, kind enough to call in and let us know what's going on. And let's see how we can help. Merry Christmas, Tony. Thanks for calling in. And let us know what we can do to help you guys.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Go right ahead. We're ready, willing, and able.
Well, like you said, last year we had a little over 3,000 people, gave out over 8,000 toys, and served a lot of food. And this coming Monday, the 23rd, starting at roughly about 11 o'clock, we're going to have at least 3,000 more folks, if not more, and we're hoping to give away another 8,000 to 10,000 toys. But currently right now we're a little short. We're right at about 5,000 short, and we're also short on volunteers. Last year we had over 500.
Wow.
Currently right now we're only sitting at about 200.
Yeah, so it's, you know, and I know we're all kind of notorious about last-minute things, and that's one thing when it's for ourselves, but when it's for people that are truly struggling to make ends meet, and what we how we react to this could be the difference between somebody having a good Christmas and a really sad Christmas. So what can we do to help? Durham Rescue Mission next Monday, there in Durham, North Carolina, Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, the Durham Rescue Mission. What can we do to help, Tony?
Well, your first thing is, you know, help us with a toy. So if you could pick up a toy and drop it off at our 1201 East Main Street location in Durham, that would help. You could go on Amazon, and we like people when they go on Amazon to use Amazon Smile and choose the Durham Rescue Mission as a charity. They could order a toy and have it shipped to our 1201 East Main Street location in Durham, 27701. I'm sorry. That's another way, and if it could get here before Friday, that'd be great. You could also email us at volunteer@durhamrescuemission.org if you'd love to sign up to volunteer. And as always, you could call us at 919-688-9641, extension 5025. That's the main ways that we could help. And, you know, if you can't get to us over here on the East Main Street side, you can drop it off at our 507 East Knox Street, which is right there off of Interstate 85, exit 177 at the Good Samaritan Inn. But anything we could, you know, get before Friday so we can get them bagged up. We also need volunteers between now and the event if they'd love to come help us bag toys.
And all that information, by the way, the contact information, all the information about the toys and being able to help and being able to volunteer as well. DurhamRescueMission.org is the website, DurhamRescueMission.org. Right, there's a banner that says we need toys right on the homepage, and you click on that and you'll get to all those different options that Tony was just talking about. Tony, what kinds of toys should we be bringing over there? Age range, and I assume for both boys and girls.
Yep, both boys and girls. And the biggest age range that we really need is that older group, roughly about 12 to 14 in that range. And the reason why is a lot of younger kids, mine included, they tend to play above the age that they have. And we've received, of the ones we have, we do have several of the younger ages. So the larger age group is something that we could really use. And if the toy is unisex, you know, something that the boys and the girls can play, that makes it even easier. So if we run short in one way, we can bag up things that a young lady would like. You know, if she likes games, and boys like games, so things like that. We do want to stay focused on, you know, not electronics such as video games, because we don't know if the child has an Xbox or, you know, a PS4. And I'm probably pretty sure they most of them don't because of, you know, the level of income their parents make. So anything that we can stick away from that would be great.
Yeah, so kind of learning games, books, games, and then what about, like, just sports equipment? Or if they want to do something, like dolls and things like that, that's pretty much all on the table. We just want to stay away from the electronic stuff. I mean, video games.
Yeah, we do, because, like I said, we don't know if they have a game. We don't want to assume that they do. But, yeah, basketball, soccer balls have been always a big hit. Games, learning games, you know, things that, you know, makes the kids think. We're big about education. We believe that that's very important. Ernie would love for every kid to graduate, and so that, you know, one day we could close down the mission if we had to. But if they stay in school, that's what we'd love for them to do. So any learning games would be great.
And what do you need? What do you need volunteers for? Well, how can people help that way?
So we need volunteers really tomorrow throughout all the way up to Saturday. Any time slots, you know, an hour, 2 hours, whatever you need. We'd love for them to come over and help us to bag the toys up. We have a system where we, right now, based on the amount of toys, we'll put three in a bag, a really good toy and then a medium toy and then a smaller toy. We'll be doing that all the way up until about Saturday. And then on Monday, we have volunteer slots starting at 7 o'clock in two-hour slots, so 7 to 9, 9 to 11, 11 to 1, and 1 to 3. We'll have opportunities if people would like to come out with a family.
Yeah,
we get them set up to where, you know, the 11 to 3 spots are where the action is, where everybody's out, the kids are out, and the adults, and they're getting the free groceries and everything. But the other slots are for setup, where you come help us get the clothes out, you come help us get the socks out, get the toys set up and things like that. So it's we're really short. Like I said, only about 200. We've got a few we haven't gotten signed up right yet, but really we normally have around 500.
Yeah, so plenty of work to do, plenty of toys to buy and drop off. And what a great, I mean, so many of us, Tony, you know this better than most, are like, man, we need to start doing something every Christmas for other people. Well, what an incredible opportunity God has just dropped in your lap. Whether you're, especially if you're here in the Triangle area, because you can drop toys off or you can go serve at the DurhamRescueMission.org. If you're out of town, you can still send something through Amazon. You can send them money to help buy the gifts that need to be there for next Monday. Tony, thanks so much for calling in and sharing this with us. I'll drop some stuff off tomorrow on my way out of town. DurhamRescueMission.org. God bless you, friend. Thanks for calling.
Hey, God bless you, Steve. Thank you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. We'll be right back. Welcome back and Merry Christmas. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you again today. I hope your family and you're looking forward to a very Merry Christmas. Gosh, it's going to be here so fast, isn't it? A week from Wednesday. Of course, this week is also monumental. Want to know why? Why is this week monumental? It's monumental. It's historic. Why? Why is this week going to be historic? Why is this week going to be monumental? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking because on Wednesday they're going to vote on impeachment in the House of Representatives. And while that is historic, only the third time in our nation's history that we will have a sitting president impeached. Nixon was not impeached. He got out before they could pull that trigger. But Donald Trump will be only the third president in U.S. history impeached. That is obviously historic. And all right, I'm going to go ahead and put my cards on the table. That's going to be more historic than the fact that Episode 9 of the Star Wars saga releases Thursday night and then, of course, Friday for all you people. All you non-believers that didn't jump on your ticket purchases and get those Thursday. The Noble family will be there in force Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And so that's the end. And I know I'm a geeky Star Wars person, but that started when I was 11, 1977. And literally, it's been a part of 4 decades of my life as a Star Wars nerd. So this is a big week for us Star Wars geeks, so you can either take pity on us and pray for us, or just pray that it won't be terrible. So that's going on Thursday evening. No spoilers. I won't spoil it for anybody when I'm in here on Friday. And then, I'm catching grief on Facebook Live now for that. Just having a little fun, all right, everybody? Relax. Okay, so let's talk about impeachment here for a little bit, and I do not want to keep beating this drum, but it is important, it is historic, and there's some things going on out there. And then we'll move on. Got a few different stories I want to share with you over these two breaks, and then we'll do a very important Money Monday update at the end, the last segment of the show, because we've got this U.S.-China agreement, quote-unquote historic agreement. We've heard that before. So we'll get into that with our good friend David Fisher and some end-of-the-year stuff that's super important from a financial perspective. Support for impeachment dips ahead of the House vote. So I'm looking at Real Clear Politics, a great resource, kind of a aggregator for polling. So you should check that out anyway. It's a good use, a good political tool over the year, and especially as we go into the election year next year, realclearpolitics.com. But Trump impeachment and removal. So they're polling. Okay. So the trending right now is no is leading 47.3 to 46.7. So now for the first time, people that don't want to do this, that want to impeach are now underwater. Okay. Now it's switched. But you got Quinnipiac poll, 51% say no impeachment. USA Today poll, 50% say no impeachment. NPR PBS Marist poll, 49% say no, 46% say yes. So you've got some plus or minus people in there, some undecideds. And so that's been going on. The numbers are trending in Trump's direction in terms of impeachment. Okay, that's out there. And the guy that's the president of Real Clear Politics said, with two new polls added this morning, support for impeachment is officially underwater, meaning more people want it to go away than want it. Okay. And then that matters nationally, but it especially matters on a state-by-state basis, and especially on states that are battleground states and in districts, especially House districts, that are kind of evenly matched. So there's lots of Democrats out there that are in vulnerable districts because their districts are kind of split between Republicans and Democrats, close to being down the middle, including independents. So that's a big deal. You got to keep paying attention to this stuff because you can bet your bottom dollar every member of both House and Senate and both parties is paying it. They're all paying attention to the polling. Okay, so we got to keep paying attention to that. Right now, that looks like it's going in Trump's direction. Schumer's opening pitch. So now we go over to the Senate, which will be after the first of the year. The House will vote this Wednesday to officially impeach the president. That's like bringing somebody up on charges. Okay, that's not guilty. Of course, they think it is, but it's not guilty. It's just bringing them up on charges. That's essentially what impeachment is. Then it goes to the Senate, where the Republicans are in control. You get a little glimpse of this last week in the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, where Lindsey Graham was in charge. Whole different game, whole different narrative, totally different way of playing for obvious reasons. So Sunday night, just last night, Chuck Schumer, this is from Axios.com, made his opening bid to Mitch McConnell and the two leaders' negotiations over the Senate impeachment trial. He asked the Republican leader to call four witnesses who refused to testify before the House impeachment committees. So he's trying to limit it, but there's a little caveat in here. There's a little asterisk where you can see Schumer, who's no idiot, playing a game here. So just listen along. Here's the people he wants. Mick Mulvaney, who's the acting White House chief of staff. John Bolton, former national security advisor, who had, you know, no uncertain terms, doesn't really like a lot of things Trump has done. Michael Duffy, associate director for national security, Office of Management and Budget, and Robert Blair, senior advisor to Mulvaney. Schumer also proposes that the Senate issues subpoenas, quote, for a limited set of documents that we believe will shed additional light on the administration's decision-making regarding the delay in security assistance funding to Ukraine and its request for certain investigations to be announced by the government of Ukraine per the letter obtained by Axios. Schumer offers other suggestions to McConnell, this is really important, such as the amount of time he believes should be allocated for arguments and counterarguments. That's not that big of a deal. But it's his request for witnesses that will be most controversial. Listen to this. Again, I can't stand Schumer, but he's not an idiot. By tailoring the description of the kind of witnesses Democrats think should be called, those with quote-unquote direct knowledge of the administration's decisions related to delaying the military aid and seeking investigation, Schumer may be drawing a distinction between witnesses Trump has sought to shield and the sort of Democrats that Trump wanted to drag into the Senate, including the Bidens. Schumer appears to be trying to drive a wedge into the Republican Senate conference. The bet would be that even as McConnell defends Trump, some swing state Republicans who are no fans of the president may want to at least make it seem like they're seriously examining Trump's actions. So here's what Schumer's kind of doing there. Because if you're salivating at the mouth, if you want a long trial with Jay Sekulow and some other folks and unleashing Ted Cruz and Mike Lee on a various list of Democrats, including the Bidens, you could bring Adam Schiff in there, all kinds of stuff. Hillary Clinton, they could go after all kinds of people. That would be a longer trial and a more expansive trial in the Senate, impeachment trial, And McConnell would have to kind of let the reins out to allow them to go after all these different people, because they'd have to make a case. Why is this person coming in? Just like in a regular court of law. And Chief Justice John Roberts, by the way, presides over this hearing in the Senate. So that's where Schumer's in there trying to avoid that. He's saying we're only asking for four witnesses who are our biggies, right? And then trying to restrict the Republicans to be able to go outside of that, which many people on the right want to go outside of that. You want to drag every Tom, Dick, and Harry in there, and anybody that's had anything to do with Ukraine and Russia and the whole mess for the last 4 years, and get them in there. And part of me is like, yeah, man, let's do it. Let's get it on. Let's get them all in there. Let's expose as much as we can, because that certainly needs to happen. But you got people like Lindsey Graham, who wants to find 51 people to vote that they don't even bring any more witnesses, no more evidence, basically saying, we've heard enough, we're ready to vote, just based on what happened in the House. And then they straight up vote, party ticket. They might lose a couple of Republicans, but the votes are not there. Mitch McConnell said this, zero chance that Donald Trump gets thrown out, zero chance that he's found guilty. So do you want it short or do you want it long? That's the question. So this is going to get very interesting. It's probably going to get very ugly. I don't like saying you ain't seen nothing yet, but that's probably the truth. However, on the other side of this, interestingly enough, here's a Fox News story. On the cusp of impeachment, Trump ends year with a spree of accomplishments, which is true. So this is interesting. In the House, where a lot of this stuff is happening, on one hand, they're voting to impeach him on Wednesday. On the other hand, they're pushing some things through. And in the Senate, he had some massive success on judges. So I want to share that with you when we come back. And then a couple of big-time apologies that you're probably not going to like. One from Starbucks and one from the Hallmark Channel. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Merry Christmas to you and your family. I hope you're going to have a wonderful 7, 8, 9, 10 days now as we approach the end of the year. Can you believe it? Oh, my goodness, 2020 right around the corner. We were supposed to have flying cars by now, so I don't know what's up with that. Let me finish up this story on the cusp of impeachment. This is a Fox News story. Trump ends the year with a spree of accomplishments. We're in bizarro land. That's just where we live. A striking scene is playing out in Washington as 2019 comes to a close. No kidding. While Democrats move swiftly towards President Trump's likely impeachment, the president has, at the same time, notched a string of policy victories, some with the help of the same House Democrats trying to drive him from office. It's bizarro land. Quote, despite their partisan impeachment, Trump has remained focused on how to keep our economy growing, Vice President Pence said in an op-ed for the Detroit News, pointing to a pending trade deal. That's the centerpiece of the administration's year-end agenda. In a spectacular twist of political timing, that deal could be approved in the full House alongside articles of impeachment later this week. The United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, a trade pact meant to replace NAFTA, has enjoyed bipartisan support and could make its way to the floor for adoption by Thursday or Friday. While Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has indicated he won't consider that until a Senate trial is complete, passage in the House would give Trump a policy win in the most challenging of political environments to pad his presidential resume. How bizarre is that? House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has been peppered with questions about the curious side-by-side votes. Quote, no, it's not a coincidence, she said. It's just as we get to the end of the session, there have to be some decisions made. No kidding. With the threat of a government shutdown looming, Congress also reached a tentative agreement for a budget that includes $1.3 billion for the border wall. That was one of Trump's signature campaign promises in 2016, though funding continues to face court challenges. He's moving that ahead, which is great. On top of that, a sweeping defense bill cleared the House with several Trump priorities attached, including a new branch of the military called the U.S. Space Force. That is what you think it is. And a policy giving federal employees 12 weeks of paid family leave. Thank you, Ivanka Trump. Is that his daughter's name? Is that Ivanka? Is that right? Yeah. So she's been pushing that. That's obviously more of a left-leaning maneuver. The government mandating family leave to various organizations. That's dangerous. I don't like that. I'm a small government person, but he's getting that through there. And they attached it to a sweeping defense bill. I hate that. I hate how they do that. It's so disingenuous. The trade war between the U.S. and China also appears to be easing. We're going to talk about that with David Fisher in the last segment of the show. The president also reached a milestone last week. This is huge. This is the number one reason why I voted for him personally, when his 50th federal appellate court judge was confirmed. That nominee, Lawrence Van Dyke, faced a grueling confirmation process, and he now joins the bench for the Ninth Circuit, which we've called Ninth Circus for years. Get this. Once notably liberal, but now gradually being reshaped as 10 of its 30 active seats are taken by Trump appointees. Elections have consequences. And so you get in there, especially on the presidential side, because unfortunately, the judicial branch is way more powerful than it was ever designed. Which Obama twisted and turned far to the left, Donald Trump has brought way back and moving it to a conservative direction. And imagine this, let's say Trump wins next year, and I think he most likely will. He could have one, maybe even two Supreme Court justice nominations to deal with before his second term is over. So you could push to a 7-2 pretty much conservative court. That's mind-boggling, which should explain to you everything that you see from the left with respect to getting rid of Trump. It's not about how obnoxious that he can be. It's not about his tweets. It's not about his foreign policy. It's about abortion, and it's about the courts. That's what it's about. That's the underlying reality behind all of that, okay? Just so you know. All right, couple of Christmas apologies that you're not going to like. I'll do this one real quick. This is an ongoing problem at Starbucks. Starbucks is apologizing again after two uniform Riverside County, it's in California, deputies were allegedly refused service Thursday night at a Starbucks location in Riverside. Sheriff Chad Bianco tweeted late Friday that the, quote, anti-police culture repeatedly displayed by Starbucks employees must end. The company contends that the deputies were ignored by employees for nearly 5 minutes. Quote, there's simply no excuse for how two Riverside deputies were ignored, said Starbucks spokesperson Reggie Borges. We are deeply sorry and reached out to apologize directly to them. He added that the employees who worked that evening would not work while the company investigates and takes the appropriate steps. Investigating, fine, but that should take you, what, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then fire them. Any business treating any customers that way in a retail environment, whatever. I mean, when I own my house painting company, if any of my guys treated a customer that way, somebody at the Sherwin-Williams store that way, I'd fire them immediately. You're out of here. Stay off my job site. It's horrendous. It's ridiculous. Any customer, but especially public servants and especially people like the police. So there was the other one. Remember, this didn't happen. This was 2 weeks ago. A police officer in Oklahoma received an order with the name Pig printed on the side of the cups, which resulted in the termination of a Starbucks employee who the company says was responsible. So that they said the same thing then. We're doing an investigation. But this is obviously a trend in Starbucks. And come on, guys, really? Get it together. Okay, let's move from Starbucks to something you thought. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you're understandably cynical, like I am at this point. The Hallmark Channel, right? Everything that's not biblical Christianity is going to fall and bow down at the altar of political correctness and secular humanism and Satanism. They don't know they're bowing down to Satanism, but that's what it is. Anything anti-God is anti-Christ, Satanism, okay? I know, that's not popular. So, the Hallmark Channel. Then all of a sudden, there's an ad playing with a quote-unquote lesbian, quote-unquote couple getting quote-unquote married, okay? So, they kiss, lip lock, and 1 Million Moms, which is a division of the American Family Association, went into action. So, and hammered Hallmark, and then Hallmark pulled the ad. So, then you get South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, of course, the Democrat presidential candidate, criticized the Hallmark Channel's decision to pull four TV ads featuring a lesbian couple after a petition by a conservative group. Quote, families are built on love, no matter what they look like. Unquote. Buttigieg, the first openly gay Democratic presidential candidate, tweeted Sunday. Funny coming from a guy who claims to be a Christian. Well, what are families built on? Oh, that would be the word of God. Who defined the family? Who defined marriage? Oh, that would be God. And what is a family? What is marriage? Marriage is between a man and a woman. That's it. Period. Anything else outside of that? Sexual? But he calls himself a Christian. The channel pulled four ads for wedding planning website Zola. Then they got hammered. Quote, unquote, this is another Buttigieg quote. Being family friendly means honoring love, not censoring difference, Buttigieg says. This is a kicker right here. This truth will be more important than ever as we rebuild our nation into a place defined by belonging, not by exclusion. Well, Mr. Buttigieg, question for you, sir. If you don't believe in exclusion, what do you do with Jesus' statement? What do you do with the Bible's statement? When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. What do you do with that, sir? That sounds awfully exclusionary. And you as a Christian, I assume, sir, you're still holding to the profession of faith that you're a Christian. Yeah, so you're Savior, your King, your Lord, the author of life, said he's the only way. What about Buddhists? What about Muslims? What about Hindus? What about Jews? What about agnostics? What about atheists? They're excluded. How are you going to handle that, sir? That would be interesting, wouldn't it? So Zola comes out, hammers Hallmark, but Hallmark pulled the ads. But not a couple days later, here's the next ad. And here's the next story from yesterday, the Daily Wire. Hallmark Channel apologizes, will allow LGBT ads, promises to work with GLAAD, which is a really radical organization. After facing massive backlash on social media, the Hallmark Channel has reversed course and will allow LGBT-themed ads to air on its platform. It gets worse. Hold on. On Sunday, Mike Perry, the CEO of Hallmark Cards, Inc., apologized for having caused, quote-unquote, hurt and disappointment for pulling the Zola ad featuring a lesbian wedding kiss and promised to build a more inclusive atmosphere in the company's program, except, of course, you're a Christian, biblical one. The Crown Media team has been agonizing over this decision as we've seen the hurt it has unintentionally caused, Perry said. Said simply, they believe this was the wrong decision. Our mission is rooted in helping all people connect, celebrate traditions, and be inspired to capture meaningful moments in their lives. Anything that detracts from this purpose is not who we are. We are truly sorry for the hurt and disappointment this has caused. On the company's website, Hallmark also promised to work alongside the activist organization Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation to create more inclusive record on LGBTQ issues. So, not only will the Hallmark Channel embrace ads that show a non-traditional family, quote-unquote, married couple kissing, lesbians, men, women, whatever the case may be. Not only that, but you can look forward to the Hallmark Channel bringing more LGBTQ affirming and celebrating storylines to the famed channel, the Hallmark Channel, which we all thought, ignorantly so, this is the family channel, it's Hallmark, how bad can it be? Well, there's only two camps here. You're either for God or you're against him. If you're for him, you're clinging to his son Jesus, who is your Lord and Savior, defines reality, defines truth, defines moral right and wrong through his word, or you deny it and reject it. There's only two camps. So if you're not clinging to the Lord, to the King, to Jesus Christ, to God and the Holy Spirit, to the Trinity, then you're in the other camp. Hallmark has never claimed to be a Christian organization. They don't espouse Christian beliefs. They're not espousing biblical beliefs. So they're in the other camp. They're just now finally putting away all the nice, pretty bows and packaging and cards and showing their true colors. It's sad, but not shocking. But we need to stand firm with love and with compassion and keep preaching the gospel, because that's the only answer to all of it. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. Money Monday update when we come back. Welcome back to Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, by the way, on the radio, which most of you listen on the radio, and that's awesome. We praise the Lord for that. Our friends on the Truth Radio Network here in North Carolina and Wilkins Radio over there in Asheville and other places where we've been on in the past. We praise the Lord for that, and the radio is the number one place where we engage, and you get to listen to what I feel called to talk about and to do here on the show, but also around the state here in North Carolina that we just get together and do that. But on the commercial breaks, my point being, we still have a conversation on Facebook Live, but that only happens on Facebook Live. So if you join us on Facebook Live, just go to the Steve Noble Show. We're live 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Eastern Time, by the way, the Steve Noble Show on Facebook, then Facebook Live, and we have a side conversation during the commercial breaks. So that's really fun, and we have a kind of a different relationship there, a different friendship, if you will, and we go down some different roads, and sometimes that's a little more personal than it can be on the air. So I hope you'll check that out. Go to the Facebook page, The Steve Noble Show, and join us there and join in the Facebook Live. And then if you want to see it and just kind of watch it on video as opposed to like listening to a podcast, as soon as we're done with the show today, boom, it's there. So all the previous shows are there via Facebook Live. And every Monday, like you, if you've been listening for a while, you know we talked to our good friend David Fisher. There's a lot going on the financial side of life, and the Bible talks a lot about money. Jesus talked a lot about money and possessions, so it makes a regular appearance here with our good friend David Fisher of Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, as always, is their website. Great information, great education, just a great blessing to all of us trying to understand and equip ourselves to be better stewards with the finances that the Lord has allowed us to have And we're good. We're supposed to be good stewards over all of that. LandmarkGold.com. David, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me on your program.
You're very welcome. Always great to hear from you. And starting off with one of those scriptures this time of year that we're all familiar with, we should never get over. Just an awesome, powerful prophecy there in Isaiah 9:6.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, and I know, Steve, that you have children, and I have children and also grandchildren, and there's something happens that when a baby is born, it gathers the attention. Our eyes focus on it diligently, you know, and we all say no matter, you know, who they look like, they're beautiful, they're innocent, they can never do any wrong. And, you know, Jesus, obviously, as a child, was innocent, but he grew up into a young man and a man, and as being all human, but 100% our Savior, he also did nothing wrong. But, you know, this birth so impacted the future of people's lives that even like King Herod wanted to have him done away with by killing all children 2 years old in Bethlehem. But I think the key thing here is that as a baby, we focus our eyes upon him. As a Savior of the world, our eyes still has not left him. And wherever our eyes go, our power flows. So if we keep our eyes fixed on the author, the finisher, our Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, he will be our Prince of Peace. Amen. And he is the gift that keeps on giving back to people by his shed blood that he gave at Calvary for us.
Amen. It's such a great reminder, especially just a few days before Christmas, that passage, Isaiah 9:6. And just to look at those descriptors, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And that can be true in your life, and he can play that role for you, but only through Christ his Son, and only when you give your life over and confess and repent, turn from your sins, and turn to him. You can't work your way into heaven. Jesus did everything that needed to be done. He's the only one that could do it, and you have to put all your faith in him in order for that to be activated in your life, and that's what Christmas is all about. So it's a great reminder. Thank you so much for that, David. Well, we've got a historic week on a number of levels, and another quote-unquote historic agreement between the U.S. and China has been struck. So tell us about what's going on there and how that's affecting the markets.
Well, it is a historic agreement, although the market isn't showing it as such, because this type of historic agreement, you know, the Dow should be up 400 or 500 points. It's only up 100, and gold should have dropped, you know, $25, $50, and it's up a little bit. So it is historic, but there's a lot that still needs to be done. The agreement, although it's there's some disparities. Here's what I found out. The United States canceled all additional rounds of tariffs on the $160 billion for the electronics and toys that we would buy from China. That was supposed to go into effect on Sunday. China agreed to increase their purchases in U.S. goods and services by at least $200 billion over the next 2 years. That includes the $50 billion, $40 to $50 billion of farm commitments, soybeans, pork, and et cetera. The United States has, in return, agreed to cut off tariffs on the $120 billion worth of Chinese imports that were enacted in September and reduced that tariff from 15% to 7.5%, and half there. And the earlier tariffs, though, the 25% that went on, which is $250 billion in Chinese imports, those are still in place. But the biggest one, still the wild card, and I said we wouldn't have this clear, and that's unfortunately true. China has agreed to make structural changes on how to deal with intellectual property rights, you know, the forced technology. But here's the problem. China is not committing any details on this. So this is what the U.S. says, and then China is saying this, that they never even responded about the size of agricultural products they're going to buy.
Gee.
And they responded by saying, we'll abide by new unspecified provisions for intellectual property and currency manipulation. So trade advisor Peter Navarro said that here's the skinny of the deal. We have still seven deadly sins out there, is what he calls it. There's no airtight commitment on intellectual property. There's no ending on currency manipulation and no grant for market access amongst outside countries. And neither is China going to curb their subsidiaries for the, their companies and state support. So, and there's a few more, but those are the big ones. So to put it into perspective, if China did buy $50 billion, that's four times as much as they bought last year, twice as much as they bought as the all-time high ever in a year. So it's a tall source to say that they're going to be able to abide by this. Yeah. That's why Wall Street is not completely saying we have a hurrah here.
Yeah, because and oftentimes when you hear this language out of China and the way they phrase everything, you know, to me, I'm interpreting it basically as yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. And that's because that's just the game they're playing. And we're not playing on the same level. We're not playing. I don't even think we're playing the same game. Then, of course, Trump tweets it and it's historic, blah, blah, blah. But the proof is in the pudding, and the pudding actually is not too impressive here. So we'll keep talking about it. You've been saying this for over a year that this is going to be a slow game, and certainly it is. But hopefully there'll be some breakthrough here that's real. We just have yet to see and pay attention to it. But, yeah, the markets would have gone ballistic if it were really something special, but obviously it isn't. So the Fed's announcement last week about interest rates, so let's talk about that for a minute. And then, although we're not supposed to say quantitative easing, that they're not pumping a bunch of money into the market, of course, that's exactly what they're doing. So tell us about those two things.
Yeah, $1.2 trillion. So the Fed said, let's keep rates unchanged at 1.5 to 1.75%. 13 of the 17 officials at the Fed expect no change through 2020 year's end. So in other words, we're going to have the rates for another year like this. And the FOMC says that this decision was a unanimous decision 10-0. So the Fed's finally engaged and on the same page, because there's been a lot of dissension. So they left rates unchanged. They said in writing that it's appropriate to support current job growth. So we don't need a whole lot of help. And then on the flip side of that, what have they done? Expand the balance sheet the fastest ever in history, faster than Q1, Q2, and QE3, $1.2 trillion per month. See. The whole balance sheet of the Fed has gone up. That's the repo market. The balance sheet of the Fed has gone up $500 billion. The Fed has absorbed 90% of the treasuries that have been issued since September. And the market, if you think we have a market that is healthy, why are we printing $1 trillion a month? So it's something doesn't quite add up here, and the Fed is, you know, creating an illusion of liquidity to keep the market moving, and they are the buyer of last resort, just like I said they would become eventually.
Yeah, and we talk about this often with our friend up in Chicago, that they're both the arsonist and the fire department. It's unbelievable to watch them do this and just continue to prop it all up and pump this cash in there, which nobody wants to talk about. Democrats aren't talking about it. Republicans aren't talking about that. Trump's not talking about it because it would inform more people about the house of cards that we're living in, and that's not just here in America, that's around the world. So briefly, what's happening in gold? And then I know there's an incredible year-end discount. This is something that happens most of the time at the end of the year. So just explain that to us again, because in terms of diversifying into precious metals, what a great opportunity it is.
Well, Goldman Sachs, a stock brokerage company, came out and said that the world's riches are hoarding gold. They said that the central banks also have now bought up 20% of the gold supply. And they're looking at a record year of 750 tons. We have a discount on gold towards the end of the year. Got a call in my company, get on the list. It's fast and furious. It happens between Christmas and New Year's. And a portion of those proceeds, this is very important, goes to support the Steve Noble programs for first-time buyers.
Yeah, that's an awesome blessing. Thank you so much for that. So helpful to the ministry. How can people get more information and act on that?
Calling is the easiest, 844-879-8882, 844-879-8882, or go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
All right, thank you so much for that. God bless you, buddy. Thanks for calling in, helping us as always. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. God bless you and the listeners.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas. We'll talk again real soon. David Fisher, landmarkgold.com or 844-879-8882. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing.